The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
This has been, I have to tell you, one of the most fabulous weeks to sit across the desk from you,
Hasn't
Howard.
It been fun?
It has been such fun.
Good. Good. And listen, certainly we've covered a lot of different subjects. One of our listeners saying, does the ANC represent the South African government? It's very blurred. I think it's a very valid point because
extremely
this is an
important
ANC conference. It's actually not a government conference. DIRCO might, which is the Department of International Relations, might well not agree with this.
Well, the government's official stance is two states.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we're looking at how things are done the South African way, you include all parties and everybody comes to the negotiation
mm-hmm.
table. And the statement released by the ANC and their intentions to launch this investigation already seems to state that they have a bias
mm-hmm.
against one of the parties. And if you want to be any kind of player negotiations in the Middle East, you cannot show bias.
Absolutely right. Well, in truth, if you want to be an honest broker in any environment, you're going to have to try and be as reasonable and fair as possible. Speaking of which, unreasonable, unfair, UNESCO. Now, according to the Palestinians, they are saying that the vote proves that Israel's Jerusalem narrative is false. So we had it all wrong. We have the Jews have no link to Jerusalem. Is that correct?
Well, everybody, it seems we have no link. The Bible lied.
Mm.
There's no antiquity to support our claims. But this is a very, very nefarious and underhanded political ploy by the Palestinians who have accused us in the past of Judaizing the land that is Israel and holy areas like Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, and we discussed yesterday, you know, what do we do about these UNESCO resolutions? Do we take them seriously?
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a point we do, because by chipping away or eroding at the Jewish claims to the land, they grow this international consciousness that perhaps their narrative is the correct one and we have no claim to the land, and therefore they have the legitimate claim to the whole land which they see as occupied. You know, people say, you know, when we talk about occupation, what many people don't understand is we're not talking about selected areas in this particular kind of narrative. We are talking about the entire land where the state of Israel lies.
I think
lies.
A simple example would be that when there's a terrorist attack at Sarona Market, which sits in the heart of Tel Aviv is completely undisputed. There's nobody that will say that that is occupied land, nobody in the West. So what legitimacy could a terrorist have for even attacking somebody there? It just shows the fallacious nature of the cause.
Absolutely. I mean, we've heard BDS supporters, anti-Israelists. I mean, birds of a feather, in my opinion. And of course, we have the trifecta of terror coming in with Hamas and their ridiculous tweets. But we hear this chants again and again and again, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Mm, free of Jew.
Free of Jews.
Absolutely. So I guess the point that you're making is that it builds layers and it builds narrative. And I guess the concerning thing is although there might be outrage right now when UNESCO passes a vote that a resolution that is completely unjust, untrue, and non-reflective of real history, the problem is in 6 months' time when everybody forgets that or somebody hasn't even heard of it and they go to their little computer because they want to understand what's going on in Israel, and they might not be informed, and they see a UNESCO resolution that says that the Cave of the Patriarchs or the Western Wall or the Temple Mount actually has nothing to do with Jews. Well, that's become fact then, hasn't it?
And it's false news if ever there was false news, but it really is inculcating this narrative into another generation of opinion makers and thought leaders and really putting it into the marketplace of ideas. It's extremely dangerous. And the idea behind that is to completely chip away our morale so that we run.
What is the current status with the UNESCO vote? Has it happened? Is it going to happen?
The Hebron vote.
Mm.
It takes place tomorrow. So,
and where?
And here is the incredible irony. Although President Trump and the First Family have jetted into Poland to very, very warm welcome, it takes
place
in Krakow.
And spoke beautifully, by the way.
I'd love. you know, being here and being, you know, not at my computer and on my internet, I need to go and track that down.
It's worth hearing his speech. Trump spoke very, very well.
But in Krakow, Poland.
Of all places. Imagine a UNESCO vote there disassociating Jews from their ancestral land.
What I did find quite interesting is that the Poles, many of them who were bussed in to welcome President Trump, the First Lady, and his family, said that anybody who is not liked by Angela Merkel or Vladimir Putin is liked by us.
Isn't that interesting? Let's talk about the love affair. Now, there's the Prime Minister of India has been visiting Israel this week, and earlier today I saw photos of Netanyahu and the Indian Prime Minister basically strolling along the beach. The bottom of their trousers were rolled up as they waded through the surf, and seemed very, very, their body language so unbelievably comfortable with each other as they engaged in conversation.
Was it comfortable enough to do yoga together?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's absolutely astounding to see.
But in all seriousness, the beautiful love affair between Israel and India continues. It is day three of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to the Jewish state, the first time an Indian president or prime minister, rather, has visited Israel. And he has been treated and feted the same way as an American president would, and relations are extremely warm. And we've had two significant statements coming out from India, and that is Prime Minister Modi not only has announced direct flights from Tel Aviv to India, but he has also invited Prime Minister Netanyahu to visit India. And a lot of
I thought there were direct flights from Tel Aviv to India.
Apparently not. Apparently now there will be direct flights.
I thought there already were.
We know that the conversation between the two leaders has been largely about the economy and improving trade. And we have information that some of their conversations have very, very quietly taken place around dealing with issues regarding to terrorism.
I have absolutely no doubt. I don't think that any conversation with any leader, world leader from India or any other place, could avoid the issue of terrorism. I don't think there's a country that can avoid a discussion on terror.
Well, that is true. And then that brings me to our third topic, which is relations between Egypt and Hamas. And we've known for the last couple of years or so, the relations between the terror organization and the Egyptian state has been extremely tense. Egypt also embarking on blockades, closing down tunnels. In fact, they use a lot more stringent methods of closing those tunnels down than we do. Crossings from Gaza into Egypt have been closed a number of times, and what we see now, because of the grave humanitarian crisis in Gaza with relation to the electricity shortage and the effects of that, is that Hamas is appealing to the Egyptian government to please help and send in some kind of humanitarian aid, allow for electricity. And, you know, that is a concern for Israelis as well. As much as we want to cooperate and forge ties with our Palestinian neighbors, and in this case, the Palestinian Authority, who is our recognized negotiation partner, for us as Israelis, we don't like to see the humanitarian crisis worsen than it already is. There is very, very little electricity going into Gaza. This affects people's ability to work, to feed themselves. It's creating a tremendous amount of spoiled food, garbage, disease, lack of stringent or good enough medical attention, and the situation really, really is worsening.
Yep, and indeed it really is, especially this time of year with incredible amount of heat in the area. It must be horrific to be there.
Absolutely. And I would really appeal to the family of nations, instead of passing ridiculous fake news type resolutions at UNESCO, why don't you give the attention to the people of Gaza?
I cannot understand this for the life of me. How is it possible to look at Israel and look at the Middle East and not to point a finger at the party responsible for many of the atrocities in the area, which is Hamas and the Palestinian Authority? I don't understand.
I find this incredibly hypocritical, because how it is left to people like you and I to bring this to the attention of the greater public. We don't hear a peep from anybody else, and our dear friends who love to tweet us all the time and send us messages from the other side, and by the other side I don't mean the other side
of
the moon, or those that require a Ouija board, but we're not hearing enough from so-called human rights activists, and you know who you are, and I'm putting you on blast.
It's actually incredible, and I would actually love to have a conversation with somebody, and instead of them just vomiting the same rhetoric over and over again, you know, have them look at it and say, yes, you know, Hamas is vile. They're a terror organization that abuses women. It abuses everybody. There's no freedom of religion, no freedom of association. You can't be homosexual. You can't express your view. It's just the most incredible thing. In fact, Hillel Noyer yesterday at UN Watch was talking to the Human Rights Council, and he went through so many of these things, and he said, you know, it's Venezuela, it's Iran, it's all of these countries. It's such a joke. It's almost a world upside down.
It's the only way I can describe it. Hakol hafuch.
Everything is upside
the
down.
The world, as we say it in Hebrew, is alapanim.
Right, exactly. Just be careful that hafuch word, because it can also get you a very nice cup of coffee in Israel.